And for the rest of us, let's go into our Bibles today. Let's go to the book of 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verses 12, 13, and 14. Praise God. And I want to give you what I feel like the Lord gave me for the service here this morning. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. And I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Almost like he repeated himself and spoke of some things here that I want to bring out and bring to our attention here this morning. Praise the Lord. And I want to talk about the fathers. It's Father's Day. It gives me a good opportunity to bring out some things that maybe we haven't thought about before. And sometimes, in order to get a proper understanding of something, you can't just look at it from one angle. You can't just look at it this way and say, well, that's the way it is. Many, many times in life, you'll find that there are different angles to things. And what I would call a perspective. It's a perspective of a situation or whatever it is that you want to talk about. And so I just thought, well, I'll just title it that. I just want to title this, if you want to put a title on it, Fathers in Perspective. Fathers in Perspective. Amen. Because you can't just look at it from one vantage point. You've got to look at it from the whole. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. We thank you for the truth. And I ask you to anoint us, anoint the word of God, speak to our hearts. We give you honor, praise, and thanks this morning. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning. I want to start off today by letting all of the dads that are here today, all of the fathers that are here, that I am an advocate of yours, praise God, and that some could say that I'm prejudiced, and maybe I am, because I am a father as well, and I hope to be an encouragement today to all of the fathers. I hope today to make your journey a little bit easier, hopefully, that whether you feel successful or not as a dad, I want to try to help all of our dads that are here today. And, there are times in life that we need to put things in a proper perspective. We have to go and look at something from different angles, so that we can get the right understanding. And I hope all of these young men on the front row here tonight, or this morning rather, and the young people that are here today will pay attention and listen to the pastor this morning. I've got some really important things to talk about today. Praise God. And it will help you tremendously if you will listen and obey. Praise God. And, it simply means perspective is looking at something from a different angle. At first glance, usually you don't get the full understanding of a situation. To just look at something from somebody, one person's point of view, you're probably not going to get the whole story. You have to talk to somebody else to find out what they saw or what they did. That's why in the court of law, one witness is not enough to convict someone. There must be more than one that agree with each other. Amen. And when it comes to being in a family, and all of us have been in a family, then we've got to get used to not just looking at something the way it appears, but we must look at it from a perspective, from looking at different angles. And when John the Revelator here wrote these verses in 1 John chapter 2, we understand this morning that he gave us three different areas that he was talking about. One of those areas was children. Everybody said children. And he then spoke of young men. Everybody said young men. And then he spoke of fathers. Everybody said fathers. All right. Totally different aspects here of the family, of situations. And he spoke of these three. He spoke of the children who were excited about the basic things. He said, "I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." And the Bible talks about a babe in Christ. It talks about the child of God. And it talks about the milk of the Word of God. And it talks about the meat of the Word of God. Children, excuse me, children love the milk of the Word of God. My sins are forgiven me. Praise God. Isn't that exciting? Amen. Amen. But I can tell that you've heard that many, many times. But for a new convert, for someone to say your sins are forgiven you, that is the most exciting thing in the whole world. Amen. When I was a little child, we used to play jacks, and we'd throw the ball up and we'd catch it, and we would play jacks. Just to let you know, I don't do that anymore. Amen. It used to be fun and exciting, and we did things as children that we just don't do anymore because we have come to a different level of maturity, a different level of understanding. Amen. Children are very excited about basic truth. Well, praise God. Children love toys, little toys. One of the little boys here in the church, he wanted to play, and he had a little man figure and another little man figure, and he said, "Pastor, come play with me. You be this guy, and I'll be this guy, and we'll fight each other." And that was real exciting. Some of you that are grown up here this morning, when you were little children here in the church, I remember the day that they had the skateboards, little bitty skateboards about that long. And oh, they would flip them and they would move them around and do all that. And just to get out and run and race each other. But I don't see Brother Keith and Brother Greg outside having a foot race. They're just not that interested in that anymore. You just go ahead and win. I'll just let you win, and we'll just say you're better than me. Amen. And little children, though, they've got this wild imagination, and everything is all exciting in life. And I've said it many times that life is exciting when it's simple, and children are just simple. You don't really have to do a whole lot. When our children were little, if we gave them a cookie, they would jump up and down and hoop and holler and get all excited. And I thought, dear Lord, I hope this lasts for a long time. But it didn't last for a long time. Because then they wanted to go to Dairy Queen, or, you know, they graduated from those things and went on. And John wrote to the children, and he said, "Because your sins are forgiven you, for his name's sake." And then he wrote to the young men. Everybody said young men. Young men. Now, this is a growing thing where you go from a child to a young man. He said, because you have overcome the wicked one, amen. And so he wrote to the youth and the young man. we can measure a young man. We can understand the ideas that go through their mind. They're into arm wrestling to see who's the toughest. And young men, and when I speak of a young man this morning, I'm really talking about somebody that's probably 40 years and under, or maybe 35 and under. And I'm not really trying to put anybody in a category here this morning, but a lot of what we do when we're young is based upon our strength and our accomplishments. You know, just that says an awful lot right there. That big old muscle bulges up, and everybody goes, "Ooh!" All the little kids go, "Ooh!" And all the big guys, well, we just don't even bother looking. Amen. Because those days are gone for us. Praise God. And the young men, they get their identity from their accomplishments and their ideas and what they can do and their strength and going forward in that respect. Amen. Accomplishments are the measure of their success, and not just their success, but their self-worth. And they're strong. They like to show off their strength. They oftentimes are competitive. They love trophies and names on plaques and things like that because they're young men. They're accomplishers, and they want to do that. But then he wrote to the fathers, and he said, "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him." immature in goofing off with things that are foolish. He's laid all that aside a long, long time ago. Interested in a trophy. Not interested in anybody saying, "Wow, look what you did." Just not interested in that anymore. But a father is more interested in relationship. Amen. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him. And that is the foundation right there of the fathers that John wrote about. And he wrote of spiritual fathers, of course, of those who have come to a deeper place in God, a deeper place than, and please don't misunderstand me this morning, but they've come to a deeper place than just being able to quote Acts 2:38. Come to a deeper place than just to understand Deuteronomy 6:4. There is only one God. And those are foundations that we laid a long time ago. And they're not about numbers and accomplishments. They don't get their self-worth necessarily from anything that they do. But fathers are fathers, not because they get married and have children, but they're fathers because they have come to a place of maturity where relationship is the most important part of life. Well, praise God. And a father is somebody who will work hard and see all of the paycheck gone for food or for bills and not be discouraged because he's doing it for a higher cause and a higher purpose. Amen. A father is somebody that's going to do his best. Amen. And strive to do the best with what he has and to bless his family. I remember my father. I remember that mom would make supper. We would all sit around the table and eat dinner. And if there was one chicken leg left on the table, and mom had made fried chicken, she would do that quite often. And if there was one piece of chicken left on the table, my dad would always say, "Boys, any of you boys would like to have that?" And he would always refer to us. He would always prefer us. And I still remember that to this day, that my dad was a giving man. I did get a job at the same factory where my dad worked, and in fact, my dad worked in one area, and that was the Hammer House. They called it the Hammer House, and that was a very hot and a very sweaty, very difficult place to work. He operated a broken arm drill, and it was a big giant cast iron drill that came out and it broke in the middle so you could move it all around in different locations. And he worked on that every day. I worked in the shear room, which was very, very, very close. In fact, my foreman, who was older, remembered my dad, and he said it took a real man to run that broken arm drill over there. And he would cut out holes for wing skins and drill holes and all the things that they had to do. I remember that they told me that every day at lunchtime, my dad would eat lunch, and then he would go over into the shear room and he would lay down on the table behind the shear and he would sleep for 15 minutes. And I remember when he came home after work and remember the smell of oil and the little curlies of aluminum chips that had come off of the drills was stuck to his boots, and the bottoms of his boots were oily, and he would lay down on the couch, and I never really realized it at the time. I was just a child. I didn't realize how tired he was. I didn't realize what he had struggled with in the course of that day. But it didn't matter. If we wanted to go fishing, he would go fishing with us. It didn't matter if there was something that needed to be done around the house, he would do it. But we never perceived that. We never got that perspective of our dad until we got older. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is fathers in perspective. I want you to see some things this morning that maybe you haven't seen before. And, you know, I don't want to paint a picture today of a dad or of a father that's going to put any dad in a bad light here this morning. That's not my intention whatsoever. There is something about a father that is very, very special. Amen. The Bible tells us that we should honor our father and our mother. And there's a problem sometimes that comes up because of that, and that is our perspective. It is the way we look at things. And when we talk about honoring your father and your mother, all of a sudden this measurement thing comes up. And all of a sudden we say, well, is my father or is my mother worthy of this honor? And in our mind, if we see a flaw in dad, or we see something in mom that's not quite right in our mind, then we get the idea. Young people, are you hearing the pastor this morning? We get the idea that we don't have an obligation to obey the word of God, that we don't have an obligation to honor our father and our mother. Amen. Your parents may not be saved this morning. They may not be in the church. They may not know God, and your parents may be in the church, but maybe you have seen things that you didn't agree with. I'm telling you here today, I want to just give you another perspective of your dad. I want to give you another perspective of your mother, but focusing primarily on the dads this morning. Amen. The Bible does not say honor your father and your mother if they are worthy of that. Praise God. It does not say honor your father and your mother as long as they are perfect, because I have come to understand over the course of time that nobody is perfect. You are not perfect. Well, praise the Lord. And in your imperfection, your dad gets up and goes to work so that you can have those nice suits that you've got on today. Well, praise the Lord. And the food that you eat on your table is for you who are imperfect. Amen. And so in a lot of ways, your parents honor you, amen, not because of your accomplishments and not because of any of those things, but because of relationship, because of love, amen, because they know what's right. They know God, and they know that this is the right thing to do, and not just because it's the right thing to do, but because they want to do it. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Maybe I'm just going to talk to us here this morning. Amen. I want you to know this morning that your dad is not perfect. Well, praise the Lord. He's not perfect. And he's a man, but he's not a perfect man. And if we are to look for perfection, you know, when we're little, we look up to our parents and we say, Daddy, why is the sky blue? And Daddy's got all the answers. And when we're little, we say, Daddy, why is the grass green? And Daddy's got the answer for it. And everything we need to know, oh, Dad's got the answer. And then we get a little bit older, and all of a sudden, we start knowing some things. And we've read 2 books, and so now we're really smart. Amen. And the teacher at school told us something, and now I've got some power here, and I've got some wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and so the number of questions start to go down. Amen. And before you know it, Dad makes a comment, and you're there correcting him. That's not right, Dad. This is the way it is. And before long, it goes in that direction. But I'm here to tell you that even though when you were a child, you looked up to him and thought that he was perfect, I want you to know this morning, your dad's not perfect. He's not perfect. Amen. Because nobody's perfect. There's only one who is perfect. Praise God. And we know who he is. His name is Jesus. He is the Lord God of the universe. Praise God. He is the one that created all things. He is the all-wise God. Amen. He knows everything, and he is all-wise. And so I began to think about this, and I thought, well, in God in his wisdom, why didn't God come down and be everybody's father? He is. He is our Heavenly Father. In Scripture, it tells us to pray, our Father which art in heaven, our Father. So that means that he is a Father, a Heavenly Father, our spiritual Father. He is our Creator. He is all of those things. But the Bible says no man has seen God because he is the invisible God. And so why didn't God choose to come down and become our Father, our earthly Father? And play with us and tickle us and wrestle with us and teach us and encourage us and all of that. If I read the Word of God correctly this morning, there's only one that he did that for, and that was Jesus Christ. Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. Praise the Lord. Now, we are sons of God by adoption this morning. Amen. The angels are the sons of God by direct creation this morning. And we are sons of God by redemption today. But Jesus Christ was not created and he was not adopted. He was the only begotten Son of God, meaning that God was literally his Father. Amen. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so God became a father to Jesus Christ. And in Scripture we read him saying, the Father, my Father, the Father, the Father. That word is the word pater in the Greek, and it simply means parent. He was literally the parent of Jesus Christ. And that's why at age 12, he was able to dispute with the lawyers and the doctors. Oh my, I'm telling you what, there was a father to beat all fathers right there, was God Almighty and Jesus Christ. But God in his wisdom did not choose to come down and be our earthly father and provide our needs, as it were, but he chose to give us earthly fathers. Amen. He chose to give us another human being as our father. And of course, we know the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. Earthly fathers love their children, but earthly fathers are not perfect. Amen. Whether they stray from the path or whether the children stray from the path or not, a father with natural affection will continue to love their children. Amen. You can't help it. Amen. There's no way to describe it. There's just no way to understand it. But when you have a child and that is from you, there is something special about that. Amen. God chose that we would have a father that would come home from a hard day of work and just want two things. He wants to find his recliner, and he wants to have a little bit to eat. Amen. Well, praise God. But it's easy, if you don't have the right perspective this morning, to think that he just doesn't care about me because he comes home and he's not excited to see me. You just don't know what's gone on in the course of that day. You don't know the stress and the difficulties and the problems that he has faced in the course of that day. Amen. They just want to rest, but when they get home, everybody comes around and wants his attention. Hey, Dad, this is what happened today. I want to tell you about what happened at school today. And here comes his wife, and she wants to tell him about everything that happened in her day that day. And he's been hard at work. And now, oh, God, help me here this morning. I can see it on the looks of some of your faces this morning. Amen. Well, I worked hard too. Well, listen, we'll get to you on Mother's Day, all right? We're not working on the mothers this morning. We're working on the dads today. Praise God. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying this is what happens. And I know I'm saying it right. Well, praise God. And when he doesn't feel good, he gets up and goes to work anyhow. And when it's cold outside and icy, he gets up and goes to work anyhow. When it's hot outside, he does the same thing. Amen. Once in a while, he'll buy flowers for his wife. Praise God. And, oh, Lord, help me. I'm really going to get myself in trouble. I know it. I can feel it. I can sense it in the atmosphere this morning. he's usually the one that fills up the car with gas. Usually, you know, the other day I went to fill up my car with gas and my wife was sitting in the car and I'm filling it up and I'm washing the windshield and I'm getting it all taken care of and all that. And she's just sitting in the car doing something else, not really paying attention. And I wasn't paying attention, and the gas nozzle on the filler thing didn't work properly, and it overflowed, and it kept overflowing, and behind my car was a river of gasoline that was going out into the street. And I panicked, and I ran back there and clicked it off and put it in the thing and jumped in. The car was running as well, and that's why you don't want to let your car run while you're filling it up with gas. Just a little bit of here this morning. And I ran over to the place and I said, "Ma'am, you guys have got a serious problem here. There's gasoline all over the place." "Oh, okay." She gets two of those cones and sets them out and goes back to work. I said, has that ever happened before? Well, not that bad. And I thought, well, it has happened before then. And I said, I got to move this car. Oh, okay. Because I'm the man. And that's my responsibility. Praise God. I don't expect her to pump the gas. I don't expect her to go running crazy when it's overflowing and know what to do. I don't expect her to change the oil in the car. I don't expect her to check the oil in the car. Amen. Because that's my responsibility. I want to do that. Amen. And that's what dads do. And when it comes to the children, when he comes home and he's really tired and they come running up with their favorite book, Daddy, read this book to me. Amen. All right, let's read this book for the 5,000th time. Amen. And start reading the book. And I figured it out. I thought I had it figured out. And we had this special book, and I would read it over and over and over and over again. And so I thought, well, you know what? To get through this quicker so I can go to bed and go to sleep, I'll skip a couple of pages. And so I just skip a couple pages and just keep on reading. Dad, you missed a page. Oh, okay. So go back and reread that page and go back through that over and over and over and over and over again. Amen. But you know what? We're not complaining this morning. I don't sense that there is any dad here this morning that's complaining that's the way it is. Amen. He seems to always have time to wrestle with the boys and the girls. Amen. To tickle them and to hug them and to say, I love you. But remember this morning. Remember this. He's not perfect. He's not perfect. Amen. And only the Lord is perfect. And with 100 things on his mind, it would be easy for a young boy. It would be very easy for a young girl to say, he doesn't care about me because he didn't give me attention today, or he doesn't care about how my day went today. And I just want to give you this from a different perspective. The reason that children get these kinds of thoughts is because they're children. And children are excited about what they want, and they're excited about what they can get. And they're excited about me. They think about me. Amen. But I want you to see it from a different perspective this morning. Amen. That there is a lot on the shoulders of your dad. Amen. And and so when you grow older, amen, and you're about doing things, if dad isn't there or doesn't give you the full support, that doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't care. It just simply means that there are other things that he has to attend to at that point in time. Amen. And always remember that he's not perfect. Amen. The only way I think that a child can really understand the thoughts and the fears and the frustrations and the pressure of being a father, the only way is to become one yourself. But I want to try to help you this morning. Amen. Because when you do become a father, the floodgates of memories are going to come to you, and you're going to see things from dad's perspective. But the pastor wants to try to help you this morning to see it from his perspective today. Amen. And maybe to help you a little bit. Well, somebody said, praise the Lord. You know, dads fall short. Dads fall short. If I were to ask for a show of hands this morning, every hand would go up of all of our dads here today that we've fallen short. If you were to get some dads here this morning, in a private place and say, do you feel like you have been very successful in raising your children? Most of us would probably say, we could have done it better. Amen. Most of us would say, you know, I wasn't thinking when I said that. I wasn't thinking about how it would come across. Amen. And I want you to see this morning that God ordained you to have the dad that you have. Amen. And when you see it from that perspective, when you see it from that angle, amen, that he's just a man and he makes mistakes and he falls short and does not measure up to the mark that maybe you think that he should have. And God, help us. There's no way out when someone says you should have done it this way, but you didn't do it that way. There's no way to redeem yourself. And so what does God do? God says, honor your mother and your father. God says, look at it from my perspective, that he was someone that was given to you, and it is right for you. Praise God. It is right for you. It wouldn't be right if your dad was a dad of somebody else, but it is a God-given thing that God gave you the dad that you have today. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. If he knew your name before you were born, then he knew the name of your dad before you were born. Praise God. It was a preordained situation. And so I want to look at a couple of dads, just to give us an idea here this morning. Amen. Genesis 4 and verse 1. Turn with me this morning. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Here's the very first dad in the Bible. Actually, the very first dad in entire history of humanity. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, here's what Adam said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. That's what every boy wants to hear his dad say. I've gotten a man from the Lord. But you know what? It's true that we make mistakes. Dads make mistakes. And she again bare his brother Abel. Silence. There's nothing there that says, oh, I've gotten another man from the Lord. The first man, and now I've got the second man. It was silent. The name Cain means to strike quickly, decisive, a man's man. The name Abel means transitory, unsatisfactory. When Abel was born, his dad looked at him and said, he's not going to amount to much. Now, I'm telling you the devastation in the heart of a young boy, or a young girl for that matter, to perceive and to see that dad got it wrong. Amen. He didn't see things quite right. You know why? Because he's just a man. He's not God. He can't see everything. He doesn't know everything. He bases his decisions upon the best information that he has. But I'm telling you, we make mistakes as parents. And we need to understand that this morning. And so Cain brings an offering to the Lord. And Abel brings an offering to the Lord. And Cain's offering was rejected. And Abel's offering was accepted. Praise God. Why was that? I'll tell you why. Because Cain had the wrong perspective. Amen. Abel had the right perspective. I don't know where he picked it up. Maybe he got it from his mother. We'll help the mothers out a little bit this morning. You know, moms have a way of smoothing things over after dad tears it all up. Praise God. And so he got it from somewhere that, you know, this is my name and this is the impression that I'm supposed to have. But you know what? I'm not holding that against my dad. I'm not going to hold that against him for making that mistake, and it is a mistake, and we could agree that it was a mistake. But you know what? People make mistakes, don't they? And yet the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. And so we've got to reconcile these matters together here this morning. Amen. Abel got a hold of something that we all need to get a hold of here this morning. And that is that there is only one Father who is perfect, and that is God Almighty. And God, he saw that God gave him the dad that he had. He saw that God blessed him with his mother that he had, and there was no way to change it. And so he said, I'm going to look to my heavenly Father. I'm going to look to the one who's perfect and model my life after him. And he was accepted. But because of that acceptance of Cain, that had the attitude here that I'll worship the way I want to worship. I'll bring the sacrifice that I want to bring. Amen. That he was rejected. Praise God. Amen. And then we read in another place, 1 Samuel chapter 25. And I'm hurrying this morning. 1 Samuel 25 and verse 3. And it says, now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. Is Abigail in here this morning? She's not in here this morning. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. Well, that fits, doesn't it? Amen. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Here's a man that's churlish. That means that he's rough. Doesn't care if he offends anybody. Just got a real bad attitude. Have you ever come across a guy like that? Yeah. You might be able to trace it back to his parents, but I think that probably we put too much stock into these things. And I hope that we're hearing this here this morning, because parents make mistakes. But that does not mean, well, praise God, that's the way you're supposed to be for the rest of your life. Amen. And so the name Nabal means stupid. Now, isn't that nice? And every time he gets up in the morning, it's time to get up stupid. It's time to go to school stupid. Yeah, every time I use this, the younger people, they kind of laugh about that a little bit. But you wouldn't laugh if your name was Nabal. And your dad gave you that name. Amen. The rest of us, we just kind of sit here and we're like, oh, this isn't good. This is not a good start here for this boy. And God help us here. There are a lot of boys, a lot of young girls who have gotten a rough start in life because of the foolishness of their parents. And it is so very true. But if you're here this morning and that's the way it was with you, I'm telling you that does not have to mark you for the rest of your life. Now, if you choose to go that way, that does not mean that you are dishonoring your parents. Amen. But if your parents say you're stupid, I don't think I would accept that. Amen. I think I would try to rise up above that, even as difficult as it would be, to rise up above that and to say, you know what, I'm going to go to my Heavenly Father on this one here and see what he says about it. And he's not going to tell you that. Amen. He's going to give you a completely different story because he's perfect. God's perfect. Praise the Lord. And so it seemed like here with this man Nabal, as opposed to Abel, that he accepted these negative things. And he blamed all of his attitudes. He blamed all of his problems on his father, because that's the one that named him. Oh, just name him stupid. You can just imagine what kind of a dad he had. Well, God help us here this morning. And he blamed his attitudes. He blamed his problems on his father. Amen. After all, that's how he thinks about me, right? That's how my dad thinks about me, so I might as well just be what he thinks about me. Young people, I just want you to know today, there is a place to go when dad makes mistakes. There is a place to go when things don't turn out quite right, and in your mind, you are thinking, Mom and Dad could have done it differently, and it wouldn't have affected me like this. But how many of us here this morning that are here this morning that did not have parents in the church that treated us wrong, that did us wrong, that didn't say the right things, but we rose up above it. Amen. We rose up above it and we said, I'm serving God. And we prayed to God and said, God, put a love in our hearts for our parents. God, help us. I'm telling you this morning, young people, you're going to need to do the very same thing at some point in your life. If you've got a perfect dad, thank God. Thank God. And you can thank God every day for that. But there's some of us here this morning that don't have perfect dads. It's all right to say amen to the pastor this morning. It's all right. Because no one is perfect but God. Amen. No one is perfect but God. And we need to honor our parents this morning. Obey your parents, the scripture says. Well, they're not doing it right. That's not for you to judge. That's not for me to judge. What I need to judge is myself and say, am I doing it right? Is my attitude right? Is my spirit right? Do I still love God through all of the situations and circumstances of life? Amen. That's the most important thing today. Amen. If you're a child here this morning, I think we've dismissed all of them, but they probably wouldn't receive this today. They wouldn't even understand what pastor's talking about. But I'm talking to the youth here this morning, those of you that are 35 and under that can understand what I'm saying. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Dad, for the sacrifice and for the giving. And I know I can't understand it completely, and I don't know what you go through to bless me and to help me and to strengthen me and to make me what I am today. But in the limited understanding that I have, I just want you to know I give you thanks. Praise God. Oh, well, I don't do that. You know what? You're not very wise. You're not very wise. Because if you will do that, not only will it bless your dad, but it'll bless you. Praise God. Well, do you love him this morning? Do you love the Lord this morning? Let's stand together. Can we do that? Praise God. This is not the kind of message that you would really preach, but something I just wanted to drop into the hearts of all of the young people that are here this morning. And I hope that it's an encouragement to all the dads that are here today that you don't have this extreme pressure to be Mr. Perfect. Praise God. I used to joke that I've got a t-shirt with an S on it. That means Superman. But there's been many, many days in my life when I made the comment, you know, the top part of the S is broken and it's kind of hanging down a little bit. I didn't do it right. I didn't say it right. And I think back, why did I do that? And us dads, if I understand the dads here this morning, we can beat ourselves up and say, boy, why did I do that for? What did I say that for? Why did I go in that direction? Praise God. I'll tell you why, because you're just a human and you make mistakes. Praise God. And I've told others of the young group, of the youth group, I said, you know what? If you don't like the way your parents are treating you, it's only going to be a few more years. And you're going to get married and have children on your own, and then you can show us how to do it. And you can instruct us and guide us and lead the rest of us in all this deep knowledge that you have. But I'll tell you what it does when you get older and you get married and you start in that direction as a family. I'll tell you what, all of a sudden, the weight comes down. There's been many, many times as a father that I felt like the weight of the world was on my shoulders and nobody understood where I was at. Nobody seemed to care. Nobody said, "How are you doing?" But it was just a constant outflow of giving, 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 until you just have to say sometimes, "I'm going fishing." Praise the Lord. I'm going to go mow the yard. I'm going to just go get on my zero turning radius and see how fast I can make it go. Away from this place for just a little bit. And then when you come back, it's giving, 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 giving. Praise God. But thank God for dads. Can you thank God for your dad today? Praise the Lord. I'm not so foolish this morning to think that every dad is perfect. Every dad is not perfect. And we fall short so many, many times. Amen. You can find all this, all the details and all that. They had a thing on some website or whatever, and they took a refrigerator and put food in there, and right in the center of the refrigerator they put some butter. And they took about 70 men and they said, "Go to the refrigerator and find the butter." And about 70% of the men, and they couldn't find the butter. It was right in the front, right in the middle. And all the ladies here this morning can say, "Amen, you know about that. Honey, where's my shoes?" And they're right there in front of you. But she knows exactly where they are. We'll get to the ladies here one of these days. Amen. "I can't find this," or "I, you know." Well, you know where your fishing pole is. You know where your toolbox is. You know where the chainsaw is located and the gas cans. You got that all figured out. You know what? We're just men. Praise God. Just a dad this morning. And that's about as good as it's going to get. Amen. But that doesn't mean we're not trying. We're trying, even though it may not seem like we're trying. We're trying to be the best that we can be. And all the men could say, "Amen. Amen." Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you today for my dad. I thank you for that man that you put into my life that showed me so many good things. Yes, he had his faults. Yes, he had his shortcomings. Yes, he hurt me at times, and I didn't understand some things. But God, I thank you for him because you're the one that picked him for me. I didn't do it. He didn't do it. But you did it, God. And I thank you for what you've done in my life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.